Welcome to Up With The Sun, a program dedicated to the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Up With The Sun is produced by Community Educational Television, San Antonio Community Educational TV, and Jacksonville Educators Broadcasting. Now we present Up With The Sun.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another installment of Up With The Sun. My name is Dr. Andy Woods, and I am a professor of Bible and theology at the College of Biblical Studies in Houston. And we have been taking a look at something that perhaps you may have never thought of before or examined what God's Word has to say on it. But I believe it's a very important subject because it's very dominant in the Bible. And it has to do with the role of Babylon in Bible prophecy. And we have surveyed this doctrine in several sections. We've looked at the Tower of Babel. From there, we looked at the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah and showed that they have never been fulfilled. From there, we looked at the prophecy of Zechariah in Zechariah 5, verses 5 through 11, and shown how that prophecy has never been fulfilled. From there, we looked at the description of the kings of the east as described in the book of Revelation, and noted that a Babylon understanding of those passages is the best way to handle them. From there, we looked at the end time harlot that's described in Revelation 17 and 18. And we've seen that these chapters are describing Babylon in the end times. And we're continuing this study, and we are, in essence, examining some other views that would contradict the view that I'm trying to teach. The view that I'm trying to teach is one of these days the Antichrist will lead his empire from the literal city of Babylon. That's what the scripture predicts. But many people say, well, no, Revelation 17 and 18 does not refer to literal Babylon. It refers to the city of Jerusalem. We dispelled that, I believe, last time. But many people say this city that's described in Revelation 17 and 18 is the city of Rome. Now, notice, if you will, what Dr. Henry Morris says in his commentary called the Revelation Record. He writes this: it would be confusing to John's first century readers, as well as later generations, for him to write so much about Babylon when he really meant Rome. Paul was not afraid to speak directly about Rome in his writings, so why should John be? Morris continues, and he says in the next slide, it must be stressed that revelation means unveiling, not veiling. In the absence of any statement in the context to the contrary, we must assume that the term Babylon applies to the real city of Babylon. Now think about this for a minute. Many people argue, well, John was using some kind of code for Rome. In other words, Babylon is another way of saying Rome in code form. Now you ask them, well, why would he inscript it in code form? And the answer is to protect himself from persecution. Well, if John had to put Rome in the code form of Babylon to protect him from persecution, why does the Apostle Paul openly say Rome? Paul says that, for example, in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, and many other places. Paul felt no need to masquerade Rome through a code word Babylon. If Paul was not afraid of speaking about Babylon, or Rome, rather, openly, John wouldn't be either. So if John wanted to say Rome, he would say Rome in these passages, but he doesn't say that. He uses the word Babylon, which I believe is a literal city on the Euphrates, which will control the world system in the end times. Now, in addition to Rome, many people are arguing that this woman named Babylon is not a literal city, but she just sort of represents a religious system of the end times. But notice, if you will, Revelation 17 and verse 18 a verse we've referred to several times in our study. It says there that the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Revelation 18 and verse 10 says, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city. And then it goes on and it says, Babylon, the strong city. So, in my opinion, John could not be clearer. He is not simply talking about a religious system. He is talking about an actual, literal, geographical city east of the Euphrates River in an area called Shinar or Mesopotamia, the same place that the Tower of Babel once stood, the same place where the children of Israel were taken into captivity during the 70 years captivity. So is this a city or is this a system? I think the answer to that question is yes, because it's both. It's just like the Tower of Babel, which was an actual city in the land of Shinar. But as you remember from our first session together, it was the headquarters of the Babylonian mystery religions, the mother-child cult, which was exported into all of the nations. The Tower of Babel was a literal city. As you read Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9, you'll see the word city in that passage. But it was also a religious headquarters. That's what Babylon will be in the end times. It's a lot like using the word Hollywood. When we speak of Hollywood, we are speaking of a system of commerce, a system of merchandising, for example, a system of thought. But Hollywood is an actual city, is it not? Same with this city or this name, Madison Avenue. You use the word Madison Avenue. It's speaking of a marketing system. But Madison Avenue is an actual geographical place. The same with the Tower of Babel, the headquarters of the mystery religions, but an actual geographical place. And that's what the Antichrist Empire will be. It will be a religious system. In many ways, he will be a religious leader, but it will be headquartered in a literal city called Babylon. Now, as we advance the slides, many people are making the argument, and this goes way back to the Scofield Bible, that there are two Babylons in Revelation 17 and 18. Revelation 17 is a religious system that is overthrown midway through the tribulation period. And Revelation 18 is a commercial system that is overthrown at the end of the tribulation period. So many people argue that there are two falls of Babylon. But what I would like you to see, based on this chart that we have here on the screen, that Babylon is the same. The Babylon of Revelation 17 is the exact same one of chapter 18. For example, they're both called the same name, Babylon. Chapter 17, verse 5, and chapter 18, verse 2. They're both referred to as a city. Chapter 17, verse 18, and chapter 18, verse 10. They're both described with the same clothing, being bedecked, if you will, with purple and gold. Chapter 17, verse 4, and chapter 18, verse 16. Both are holding a golden cup. Chapter 17, verse 4, and chapter 18, verse 6, both are described as fornicating with kings. Chapter 17, verse 2, and chapter 18, verse 3. As we look at the next slide, both are drunk with the wine of immorality. Chapter 17, verse 2, and chapter 18, verse 3. Both persecute believers. Chapter 17, verse 6, and chapter 18, verses 20 and 24, both are destroyed by fire. Chapter 17, verse 16, and chapter 18, verse 8 and verse 18. Both are destroyed by God. Chapter 17, verse 17, and chapter 18, verse 5 and verse 8. What can we conclude then? What we can conclude is that chapters 17 and chapters 18 together are talking about the destruction of the same city. In fact, if you back up and look at Revelation 16 and verse 19, it says, the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. Now, this is talking about the seventh bowl judgment, the destruction of Babylon, the singular destruction of Babylon by God. This is when God will fulfill Isaiah 13 and 14. And Jeremiah 50 and 51. And now John in Revelation 17 and 18 gives us a broader picture, or a broader glimpse, if you will, of the ultimate destruction of Babylon. John tells us that Babylon will fall in 1 hour. The world's whole system of politics and economics and religion will collapse in a nanosecond as God restores his long-awaited Messiah, Jesus Christ, and his long-awaited kingdom to planet Earth. Now, I will concede that chapter 17 could be a little bit more of a reference to the religious components of the city, and chapter 18 could be a little bit more of a reference to the commercial components of the city. You'll see references to merchants and commerce in chapter 18. You see a little more references to religion in chapter 17, false religion. But it's still the exact same city. And that city is destroyed in one foul swoop with the seventh golden bowl of wrath and the coming of Jesus Christ to the earth and the establishment of his long-awaited kingdom. Now, having said all that, let's now move into a final area as we survey this very exciting and interesting subject about Babylon's role in the end times. And now we want to move into current events. If what I have said about the Bible is true regarding Babylon, then the stage we should see being set for the end times drama. Now, you'll notice that I went to current events last because I wanted to build my case from the Scripture. I did not want to be accused of reading current events back into the Scripture. I wanted us to see that Babylon in the end times is something God has revealed in His Word. But now that we have established that, we can clearly look around the world, and we can see that the world itself is being set up for the resurgence of this city and this very system in the end times. Now, notice this slide here. This is a description of very early interpreters who took the prophecies nearly identically, and in some cases identically, to the way I'm teaching them. Newell, 1935. Jennings, 1937. Cooper, 1942. Lang, 1948. J.A. Seiss, 1909. Clarence Larkin, 1919. Newton, 1853. Now, why is this important? It's significant because many people will say the view that I am presenting here is me simply looking at current events and reading them back into the Bible. But I just gave you a list of interpreters who saw in these chapters and in the Scripture the very same idea that I am presenting, long before Saddam Hussein was around, long before we have the situation with oil being discovered in that part of the world, and long before Iraq even became an independent nation, long before oil was discovered in that general area, in the area of Kirkuk. And so this view I am presenting is not the product of me reading the newspaper back into the Bible, because there are multiple interpreters that have seen the very thing that I am teaching all the way back as far as 1853, long before Iraq was even an independent nation, long before oil was discovered in that part of the world. But having said that, there are things happening in the world to pave the way for this end times system. One of them is oil. And if you look at this slide here, this is a record, if you will, of the conventional oil reserves. Now, if you look at Iraq, Iraq has about 9.5% of the world's oil reserves. And if the Antichrist were to set up his kingdom in Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, and annex, if you will, a few surrounding countries, he would very quickly control almost 60% of the world's oil supply. Oil, of course, is that black gold which is necessary for the economies of the world to run. And whoever controls that oil controls the world. And so it's very logical to me that the Antichrist would set up his empire there, because once he has done so, he would have economic control of the entire planet. Now, there are also some geographical considerations as to why the Antichrist would set up his empire in Babylon or modern-day Iraq. Notice this quote, if you will, from Henry Morris in his book, The Revelation Record. He writes this. He says, Babylon is very near the geographical center of the Earth's landmass. It is within navigable distance to the Persian Gulf, and is at the crossroads of the three great continents of Europe, Asia, and Africa. Thus, there is no more ideal location anywhere for a world trade center, a world banking center, and a world educational center, or especially a world capital. So it is very interesting to note that geographically, because of the connection of the three great continents and the Earth's land masses, that Babylon would be a very logical place for the Antichrist to set up his empire. So we have some geographical reasons as to why this system will be so, city and system will be so, and then we have some arguments that we used previously regarding oil in that part of the world. Probably a day does not go by when I discover something either on the internet or I discover something in the newspapers which indicates that there is a movement within Iraq, there is a desire within Iraq to rebuild the ancient city of Babylon, the very city that Nebuchadnezzar presided over in the time of the Jewish captivity. Here's just a few newspaper clippings that I have. I'm just going to read the dates of these and the titles, and I could spend all of my time reading what's here. But I just want to give you a sense that there's movements in Iraq to rebuild Babylon. Here's an article dated February 10th, 2012, and the title of the article reads, Major Housing Projects in the Babel province in the south. Here is another newspaper article dated October 2nd, 2011, and the title of it is Iraq Sets Aside $8.5 Million for a Babylon Infrastructure. Here is another newspaper article dated January 8th, 2009, and the title of it reads simply this, Babylon is targeted in a project of world monuments funding for Iraq. So there are constantly is plans being laid, money being raised, interest being generated to restore and to rebuild Babylon in the end time. I believe that this, in essence, is stage setting for the end times. Just as the world was set up for the first coming of Christ, having Pax Romana, universal peace, having the Greek language, which is the fullest dialect, which allows God's revelation of his Son to be recorded in the fullest dialect, having Roman roads in place for the rapid transmission of the gospel once the church was born in Acts chapter 2. Just as the world was set up for the first coming of Christ, Galatians 4:4 says Christ came in the fullness of time, in the same way the world itself currently is being gradually set up for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Now, many people argue that there's no way Babylon could be rebuilt in the end times because of a variety of reasons. They say, how could a city come into existence that rapidly? And to that answer, I would answer three things. And so we have a slide here called The City Built So Quickly? Question mark. One of the things to understand is that after the Chicago fire, which destroyed the city of Chicago, you know that from a little study of history, you also learn how rapidly that city was rebuilt. There's also another city which is rapidly coming into place called the city of Dubai. Now, Dubai is a city which is very near. It's in the Babylon. It's in the Persian Gulf era. In fact, I have a few slides, if you will, of the city of Dubai. You'll notice as I kind of cycle through these slides, this is the city of Dubai. Going to another slide, we see another example of the city of Dubai. Going to another slide, we see other examples of the city of Dubai. And one more slide, we see the city of Dubai. And what's important to understand is that the city of Dubai was built very rapidly and very quickly, probably in no more than a year or so. And so, in essence, what we have are examples in history where a city could be built very quickly. And so all of these arguments that you hear from people, that there's no way this could be literal Babylon, because after all, the city of Babylon could not be rebuilt so fast and so quickly. Well, my answer to that is the city of Chicago as it was rebuilt after the Chicago fire, and also in the United Arab Emirates, the city of Dubai, which geographically is very close to Babylon, that city was rebuilt built from scratch very rapidly as well, a thriving city. Many people today will try to make the argument that if we have to wait around for Babylon to be rebuilt, we are destroying the imminency of the rapture. The rapture is an event which will take place at any moment. And people say, well, if we've got to wait for Babylon to be rebuilt, doesn't that postpone the rapture? And therefore, the rapture cannot be an any moment event. But my answer to that is A, the city of Chicago, how fast it was rebuilt. B, the city of Dubai, how fast it was rebuilt. And so when we understand how fast a city can come into existence, a thriving city, we understand that these things can happen lickety-split. And therefore, we don't have to, you know, compromise on the doctrine of the imminency of the rapture when we hold to a literal interpretation of Babylon. Now, let me just add one more thing to this, if I could. There's a slide we have that talks about an overview of the Great Tribulation Period. This slide here gives you a thumbnail sketch of the Tribulation Period. And you'll notice that the event which begins the Tribulation Period is a covenant or a peace treaty between the Antichrist and the nation of Israel. Now, we know that that covenant is what begins the tribulation period. And what will happen before that covenant is the rapture of the church. Now, what we don't know is how much time will exist in between the rapture of the church and the covenant between the Antichrist and unbelieving Israel. I have found a commentator from an older commentator who indicates that there could be a 30-year gap in between the rapture and the peace treaty that Antichrist enters into with Israel. The fact of the matter is we don't know how much time exists between the rapture and the peace treaty with the nation of Israel. It's highly possible that Babylon could be rebuilt in between the rapture and the peace treaty. In other words, the rapture will take place and Christ's church is taken to heaven as is promised in 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 through 18 and 1 Corinthians 15 verses 50 through 58. And then those that are left behind fall under the Antichrist's spell. And it's during that period of time, a window of time, we don't know how much time it is, but it's during that time that Babylon could be rebuilt. And then, after Babylon is rebuilt, then the Antichrist will enter into a peace treaty with Israel, which will launch or inaugurate the final 7 years of human history, the 7-year tribulation period before Christ comes back. So all of that to say, there are scenarios which can be worked out where the rapture is still an any moment imminent event, even though we know one day Babylon will be restored and rebuilt and returned to global dominance. The literal Babylon view is no threat to the doctrine of the imminency of the rapture for reasons I just gave. Something else to think about is people say, well, you're taking these prophecies about Babylon just a little too literally. May I just say, the scripture also predicts a restoration of Israel. And there was a time when people who took those prophecies literally were laughed at. The nation of Israel became its own nation again in 1948. Its territories expanded in 1967. And there was a time in biblical history and church history when people who understood prophecy and took the prophecies regarding Israel literally were laughed at. I mean, it's silly to think that Israel would come back again and be its own nation in the end times. Only a ignoramus could think something like that. But once 1948 happened, and Israel did become a nation again, exactly like God said would happen, suddenly those that took the prophecies about Israel literally, they were vindicated. And I think something similar is about to happen with Babylon. Many people argue for a literal Babylon, and they're laughed at. They simply say this is too literal to be taken seriously. But just like the restoration of Israel vindicated a literal interpretation, in the same way a soon resurgence of Babylon, which is destined to happen, I believe, very soon, will vindicate those who take God at His word and take His word literally. So what then is the conclusion of the whole matter? The conclusion of the whole matter is Babylon is destined to fulfill a great purpose in the end times. This is not just a thought that's expressed in a passage or two of Scripture, but it's a theme that weaves its way through the entire Bible. In essence, what is happening is history is recycling. The geographical area of the place of the first worldwide revolt against God at the Tower of Babel in the land of Shinar in Mesopotamia is the exact same place of the same final one world revolt against God in the land of Shinar in Mesopotamia. The first revolt was led by a man named Nimrod, and that attempt to defeat God was thwarted as God confounded the languages. The last worldwide attempt to displace God will take place from that same geographical region. And just as God thwarted Nimrod in Genesis 11, God will thwart the Antichrist as revealed in Revelation 17 and 18. Now, this is not just an idea that we have seen in a passage or two, but we have traced it through as we look at our final two slides through the Tower of Babel, through the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah, which have never been completely fulfilled. We have traced them through the prophecy of Zechariah's vision of the woman in the basket. We have traced them through the prophecies related to the kings of the east in Revelation 9 and Revelation 16. We have seen this Babylonian concept revealed very clearly in Revelation 17 and 18. We have also seen that other views or other interpretations which seek to explain Babylon in another way are inadequate. And finally, we have seen that world events are very rapidly moving us in this direction. And I would just conclude our sessions on this very subject with a warning from 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. And the warning says, "He who thinks often of his coming purifies himself even as he is pure." We know that history is moving in a particular direction, and we as people need to be right with God so that we can understand Him in the final hour.
You have been watching Up at the Sun with professors from the College of Biblical Studies. If you would like more information about the college, please contact us at 713-77-BIBLE or visit us online at cbshouston.edu. Here at the College of Biblical Studies, we offer truth, training, and transformation.